Good morning. Today's scripture reading will be taken from Zechariah 11. Verse 1. Open your doors, O Lebanon, that the fire may devour your cedars. Wail, O Cyprus, for the cedar has fallen, for the glorious trees are ruined. Wail, oaks of Bashan, for the thick forest has been felled. The sound of the wail of the shepherds, for their glory is ruined, the sound of the roar of the lions, for the thicket of the Jordan is ruined. Thus said the Lord my God, become shepherd of the flock, doomed to slaughter. Those who buy them, slaughter them and go unpunished. And those who sell them say, blessed be the Lord, I have become rich. And their own shepherds have no pity on them. For I will no longer have pity on the inhabitants of this land, declares the Lord. Behold, I will cause each of them to fall into the hand of his neighbor, and each into the hand of his king. And they shall crush the land, and I will deliver none from their hand. So I became the shepherd of the flock, doomed to be slaughtered by the sheep traders. And I took two staffs, one I named Favor, the other I named Union, and I tended the sheep. In 1 month I destroyed the three shepherds, but I became impatient with them, and they also detested me. So I said, I will not be your shepherd. What is to die, let it die. What is to be destroyed, let it be destroyed, and let those who are left devour the flesh of one another. And I took my staff Favor, and I broke it, annulling the covenant that I had made with all the peoples. So it was annulled on that day, and the sheep traders who were watching me knew that it was the word of the Lord. Then I said to them, if it seems good to you, give me my wages, but if not, keep them. And they weighed out as my wages 30 pieces of silver. Then the Lord said it to me, throw it to the potter. The lordly price at which I was priced by them. So I took the 30 pieces of silver and threw them into the house of the Lord to the potter. Then I broke my second staff Union, annulling the brotherhood between Judah and Israel. Then the Lord said to me, take once more the equipment of a foolish shepherd, for behold, I am raising up in the land a shepherd who does not care for those being destroyed, or seek the young, or heal the maimed, or nourish the healthy, but devours the flesh of the fat ones, tearing off even their hoofs. Woe to my worthless shepherd who deserts the flock. May the sword strike his arm and his right eye. Let his arm be wholly withered, his right eye utterly blinded. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Yeah, I bring you greetings, my brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are continuing with our sermon series on the book of Zechariah, and we will complete the series in a few more chapters, but next week, on the final Sunday of October, we will observe Reformation Sunday, and so we will take a break next week, and we will resume in the month of November. Let us go to God in prayer. Let us pray. God, our Heavenly Father, we give thanks for the gathering of your people this day to hear your word. And we ask that you open our hearts and minds so that your truth will take root and bear fruit in our lives. May we follow Christ faithfully by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, for we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Yeah, previous slide, yeah. Yeah, on this very day, 34 years ago, on 19 October 1991, a wildfire that started on a hillside in the U.S. state of California was quickly extinguished by firefighters. But because the heat was so intense that the leaves from the surrounding pine trees started to fall and cover the ground. And so the fire was still burning underneath those leaves, smoldering. And when the strong wind came, the unseen fire was blown uphill. And when the wind pattern changed, the fire started to spread in different directions. Within 1 hour, 800 houses were set on fire. And those houses with wooden roofs burned down in just 10 minutes. And in some places, the heat was so intense that it reached almost 1,000 degrees Celsius, making firefighting almost impossible. According to residents who were trying to use their water hose, the heat was so intense that their water pipe burst. And what was worse was that not only was the flame intense, it was also spreading so quickly that firefighters found it difficult to establish a perimeter in order to contain the flames. That was the tragic Oatland Hills firestorm that killed 25 people, injured 150 more, destroyed more than 3,000 homes, and incurred damages of $1.5 billion. That firestorm gives us a glimpse of the danger, a glimpse of the destruction, a glimpse of the devastation of a spiritual firestorm. Earlier on, last week in Zechariah chapter 10, we saw how God promised his shepherding care to his people. But today in chapter 11, the tone changed. We see the spiritual firestorm that will come when God's shepherding care was rejected. And in today's message, we will see how this spiritual firestorm will highlight two spiritual principles to warn us of the danger, to caution us to the destruction, and to awaken us to the devastation when God's shepherding care was rejected. The first spiritual principle we see from verses 1 to 7 is the principle of responsible leadership. Like the Oatland Hills firestorm, the passage begins in verses 1 to 3, a picture of a firestorm that burned down the cedar, cypress, and oak in Lebanon, in Bashan. And these strong and majestic trees symbolize all the nations that oppose God and his purposes. And when the judgment of God came against the nations in order to save his people, all the nations would suffer the wrath of God. And the destruction will be so intense that the trees will be devoured, felled, fallen, ruins, and the destruction will be so intense that there would be repeated wailing. But the scene changed from verse 4 onwards. Verse 4 onwards, God commanded Zechariah to become shepherd of the flock. And this is what Bible scholars say would be described as a prophetic symbolic act. Because Zechariah, just like some of the prophets of old, they will be told to perform certain actions to represent, symbolize God's relationship with his people. And this is what Bible scholars say, prophetic symbolic act. So Zechariah was told to tend a flock that had been abused, that had been exploited, that had been plundered, abused by sheep traders, sold for profit, left for dead. And so Zechariah's symbolic act as shepherd of the flock represented God's shepherding care of his people. And in other words, God's shepherding care comes through responsible leadership. We will observe Reformation Sunday next week. But our memories go back to the dark days leading up to the Protestant Reformation. In those days, Pope Leo X was infamous for his lavish lifestyle, lavish spending, so much so that the church treasury was being depleted, and at times St. Peter's Basilica in Rome was being rebuilt, being reconstructed, but the church treasury running out of money. So on 15 March 1517, the Pope issued a decree that indulgences would be sold. Indulgences would be certificates that promise the forgiveness of sins. And people could buy them for themselves, they could buy them for the sins of their family members, they could buy them for the sins of people who had passed on. And so, this is how the indulgence describes its function. Translated from the Latin, it says, "In the authority of the Holy Church and the mercy it holds for you, I absolve you from all sin and misdeeds and remit all punishment for 10 days. And the question would be, what happened after 10 days? You just have to buy a new one. Just like we renew our insurance coverage, because no one wanted to die with an expired indulgence. And so with the rampant sale of indulgences, the Pope amassed money for the church treasury, for the continuing of the reconstruction of the basilica, and to continue to fund his lavish lifestyle. And it would this abuse, this exploitation, and this plundering of the people, together with other dubious practices, that led Martin Luther. He was so concerned about the state of the church at that time that he nailed his 95 theses on the church door that sparked off the Protestant Reformation. And what does all this principle of responsible leadership mean for PSP today? It means that we need godly, faithful leaders at all levels, whether it is pastoral leadership, church leadership, ministry leadership, leadership in the home, in the workplace, in the community. In this and all other areas of our lives whereby God has entrusted to us leadership responsibilities, we are called to shepherd the people entrusted to our care. And it involves examining our motives. It involves evaluating our methods, all in the light of God's word. Because the implications run deep and the repercussions reach far. In early 2012, a luxury cruise ship carrying more than 4,000 passengers sailing along the Italian coastline. As it neared the island of Giglio, the captain ordered a sail pass salute. Now, a sail pass salute meant that a ship sailed near to the coast to allow the sailors to salute, to allow the passengers to wave to the people on land. And the cruise ship did the sail pass salute, but it deviated from the approved course. Sailing near to the coast, it struck underwater rocks. It tore open a 50-meter-long gash in the hull. And in the midst of that chaos, instructions were mixed. Passengers confused, evacuation disorderly. And even more shockingly, the captain himself abandoned ship before everybody else, leaving everybody behind. That was the tragic account of the Costa Concordia, a massive cruise ship capsized in just a few hours, leaving 32 people dead. And we may ask, what was the reason for the sail pass salute? It was like unnecessary in the first place. That endangered everyone. According to investigation reports, it was said it was for the purpose of showmanship. The captain wanted to entertain the passengers to allow them to wave to the people on land. According to another report, it was said that he wanted to impress a female passenger who was with him on the bridge, a restricted area where passengers were not allowed to go in the first place. Regardless of the reasons, all this show how dangerous it could be. The implications run deep and the repercussions reach far when leadership loses its way. So in whatever role that God has called us to, whether in the church, whether in the ministry, whether in the home, whether in the workplace, whether in the community, God has entrusted people to our care, and that with our responsible leadership, we need to examine our motives, we need to evaluate our methods for the sake of the people God has entrusted to us. May we go forth to echo the voice and reflect the heart of the Good Shepherd. The second spiritual principle from verses 8 to 17 is the principle of responsive followership. Responsive followership. As Zechariah took on the symbolic act as shepherd of the flock, verse 8 says, "In 1 month I destroyed the 3 shepherds. Now, there was no way to literally or historically identify which bad shepherds or bad leaders were being removed, but it has been broadly and symbolically meant to understand that bad leaders were being removed in a short period of time. But things took a very bad turn in verses 8 to 11, where it writes, "But I became impatient with them, and they also detested me. So I said, I will not be your shepherd. What is to die, let it die. What is to be destroyed, let it be destroyed. And let those who are left devour the flesh of one another. And I took my staff favor, and I broke it, annulling the covenant that I had made with all the peoples." And what this passage means is that the people did not respond to godly leadership with godly followership. Instead, they rejected godly leadership and ultimately God's leadership in order to persist in their own evil and wicked ways. But just as the implications run deep and the repercussions reach far when there is no godly leadership, the implications run deep and the repercussions reach far when there is no godly followership as well. And the result was that with another symbolic act, Zechariah broke the first shepherd's staff named favor. Let's see whether can hear. Can hear, right? Can hear. Symbolic act. That's a chopstick here. With that symbolic act, he broke the first shepherd's staff named favor to symbolize that because of the people's disobedience, God withdrew his favor. God withdrew his protection. And so the first repercussion was the withdrawal of favor. Not only did the people reject godly leadership, they also despise godly leadership. Because Zechariah was paid 30 pieces of silver for his shepherding work. Now, in ancient Israel, 30 pieces of silver was the price of a slave. And so, by paying Zechariah 30 pieces of silver, it was not only meant to reject his shepherding, but to also despise his shepherding, and ultimately, the God who sent him. And over the years, I've encountered all kinds of reactions whenever I tell people I'm a pastor. Some quickly change the topic. Why? Because it is like being trapped in a lift with a stranger and realizing that that stranger was a salesman trying to sell you something that you didn't want to buy and you wanted to change the topic. So very awkward. Then I recall that there was one who responded, "So you're a pastor, but do you really work?" So it's like a hobby. "Oh, I'm a pastor, I'm a hobby." But most of the time, people will think that, hey, it's a good job because you only work one day on Sunday. And on other days, at most, maybe 2 days, because if somebody got sick in the hospital, you need to visit, or if there would be a bereavement, you work 2 days. But otherwise, just 1 day. Yeah. And the rest of the time, people's impression would be we read the Bible, study commentaries, listen to some Christian music, and do some prayers. And that's about it. That's a nice job, right? Yeah. But nothing could have prepared me for what happened 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, I was at the medical consultation. And the doctor was doing his personal medical history with me. And that question came, what is your occupation? Because I think the occupation would relate to maybe the state of your health. And so he asked me, what is your occupation? And after I said, I'm a pastor, he smiled to himself. He smiled to himself and said, that's a good job. And now I'm very interested. After these many years in ministry, I've heard all kinds of reasons why this is a good job. And I hope that maybe I learn something new, why it's a good job. And he smiled to himself and asked him, why is that so? And he replied, without thinking, straight away, he replied, because no stress. I was not able to laugh like all of you. I was stunned. I think I was so stunned that I think he quickly changed the topic. Now, I could not say what I wanted to say because it was a government hospital. I cannot change the doctor. And it's not good at the first appointment when this doctor assigned to me and then it got bad blood between us. And what I wanted to say was, you come and do, lah. You come and do. So next time, instead of saying pastor to that very important question, what is your occupation? I should inflate my job scope. I should say something like, I teach eternal truth and lead people on a mission to push back the cosmic forces of darkness. Well, that should sound stressful enough. Then people say, hey, very stressful job. Yeah. And that episode at that clinic, at the hospital 2 weeks ago, gave me a very tiny glimpse of what it was like for Zechariah to be given 30 pieces of silver, because it was not just a rejection of his shepherding, but a despising of his shepherding, ultimately a despising and rejecting of God himself. And that led to the next symbolic act. And Zechariah broke the second shepherd's staff named Union. You can hear. Yeah. Symbolized the breaking of brotherhood between Israel and Judah. And so if the first repercussion of rejecting responsible leadership was the withdrawal of favor, the second repercussion was the breaking of unity. But that was not all. The third repercussion was in Zechariah's next symbolic act of taking up the role. This time, not the role of a faithful shepherd, but an unfaithful one. In other words, the third repercussion of rejecting responsible leadership was the unfaithfulness of leadership, meaning that God allowed the people to get what they wanted. If you refuse to follow responsible leadership, you get what you wanted. You can persist in your own evil, wicked ways. Unfaithful shepherd who did not care for the endangered, who did not seek the young, who did not heal the maimed, who did not nourish the healthy. So instead of feeding the sheep, the unfaithful shepherd fed on the sheep. Got it? Instead of feeding the sheep, the unfaithful shepherd fed on the sheep instead. So what do all this mean when we make the crucial connections from Zechariah to the New Testament? Throughout this whole sermon series, we have seen that God's promises to the people back then all fulfilled in the promised Messiah, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who came to fulfill all of God's promises. As Jesus, as you recall, when he entered Jerusalem in Matthew chapter 23-24, he lamented over the city of the consequences, implications, and repercussions of rejecting him. Next, when Judas betrayed Jesus to the Pharisees and teachers of the law, he received 30 pieces of silver. And so, just as Zechariah's shepherding work received 30 pieces of silver, Jesus himself was only worth 30 pieces of silver as well. And the implications and repercussions of rejecting the Good Shepherd came later in AD 70, when the Romans came, invaded, besieged, and destroyed Jerusalem. So making that connections from the Old Testament to the New Testament to our present time, we are challenged to consider what it means to follow responsively. Follow responsively. Firstly, for many years, we have made it compulsory reading for the membership class. They are supposed to read what is a healthy church member. And we make it compulsory for those coming for membership class because responsible leadership must be met by responsive followership. Secondly, whether it is through our church ministries or whether it is our emotionally healthy spirituality or spiritual formation exercises, we want us all to be able to express our anger, our own disappointment, our own disillusionment to God Himself. Why is this so important? Because if we don't do this and project, we will end up projecting to people. And staff and leaders receive the projection. And sometimes we do not make the distinction. We are angry with God, but we end up being angry with the staff. We angry with God, but end up being angry with the leaders. And to be able to make that distinction, to be able to be in healthy state, to express our anger, disappointment, and disillusionment to God Himself is so crucial. Thirdly, in situations where there are valid concerns about the staff or leaders, there are biblical ways to handle this. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 19 says, "Do not admit a charge against an elder except on the evidence of two or three witnesses." And the reason why Paul gave such an instruction to Timothy was that staff and leaders, we operate on a public platform, exposed and subjected to critique, sometimes fairly, sometimes unfairly. And therefore, whenever there are feedback, complaints, or grievances, we want this to be resolved in an interpersonal way, to resolve it one-to-one. But if all this fails, we'll rather this feedback, complaints, or grievances to be channeled to the leadership for their attention, for their investigation, for their response, rather to let it become gossips, rather to let it become rumors that become a wildfire that destroy ministry credibility, that erode congregational unity. Finally, the breakdown in relationship between Zechariah and the flock is mirrored in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, where it says, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls. As those who will have to give an account, let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you." And that's why responsible leadership must be met with responsive followership. Otherwise, it is a lose-lose situation, and no one wants to be in the lose-lose situation, because the implications run deep and the repercussions reach far. And all these applications are foundational and fundamental for our church team this year, renewing our hearts, building as one, especially as we prepare for the building renewal project next year. Let us therefore be responsible leaders like Christ and responsive followers of Christ. In the early 19th century, a Danish sculptor, Birte Torvensen, he was commissioned to carve the greatest statue of Jesus ever made. And so Torvensen wanted his masterpiece to reflect the victorious Christ, the mighty King, with his face looking up in triumph, with his hands raised in power, and according to his design, he wanted to inscribe at the bottom of the base the words, "Follow my commands." After working on the sculpture for some time, he took a break. And after that period of absence, he went back to his sculpturing workshop to resume his work. But he was horrified. He was horrified to see what happened to the sculpture. Instead, what he saw was that the clay had softened. Why was that so? Because the window of his workshop was not closed properly. The night fog and the sea mist came day after day, night after night, throughout the whole period he was away. And the night fog and the sea mist started to soften the clay. So instead of the face of Christ raised up in triumph, it was sagging and looking down. Instead of the hands raised in power, it was drooping and hanging low. So Thorvaldsen, he was so distraught by the damage done to his masterpiece, and he wanted to destroy it and restart all over again. But as he said before, the statue, the sculpture, he realized a deeper truth, that the sagging and face of Christ looking down and the hands of Christ drooping and hanging low was no longer the statue of Christ as the mighty King, but that of the Good Shepherd. And so he continued to work on his masterpiece, even changing the inscription at the base. He changed it from "Follow my commands" to "Come unto me." Today, in the Lutheran Cathedral in Copenhagen, stood Thorvaldsen's masterpiece, once said to be the most perfect statue of Christ in the world. So let us come to Christ, the Good Shepherd, as responsible leaders like Christ, as responsive followers of Christ. Amen. Shall we all stand as we respond to the Lord? My brothers and sisters, the words written so long ago, fulfilled in Christ, as we read the New Testament and the Gospel. And in the fulfillment by Christ, we are called to come to Him as responsible leaders like Christ, as responsive followers of Christ. And today we are led to ponder and reflect about the way that we lead in all the different areas of our lives, in church, in ministry, in a home, in the workplace, and in the community, and what it means for us to follow Christ all the way. Gracious God, we give thanks to you for how you have spoken to us through your word, and we praise you for your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is our Good Shepherd. And by your Holy Spirit, inspire us in each and every area of our lives where you have called us to lead, to do so like Christ for the sake of the people entrusted to our care. Inspire us too, as a congregation, to respond to Christ, to follow him and the leaders whom God has appointed. And in so doing, may PSPC always receive your favor under Christ to remain united as one body in Christ. For we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, the head of the church and the shepherd of the flock. Amen. Please be seated.